Lord, we do thank you for this time that we could come together again and just worship and fellowship together and just glean from your word what you want us to glean, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would draw us, Lord, and that you would truly reveal yourself tonight, Lord, to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would draw our hearts. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are starting our Bible study for the Psalms, and we're also going through a book called A Place of Quiet Rest. So on this table, for those of you that don't have the book or the Bible study, I brought those so you can take a look at them to see what we have and what we're going through. And there is homework that I did give you there, but I'm going to have you look through it on your own. There's just ideas there how you could dive deeper into the Psalms, because we're just going to focus on one Psalm a week. We're not going to do a whole bunch of Psalms, just one Psalm a week and one chapter a week in the book, okay? So I just wanted to explain that in the beginning. And I just want to open this class with a question. Does anyone here know what is man's chief purpose in life? Freddie. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Do you know forever starts now?
Yes.
Starts now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can enjoy him now. Joni Erickson Tada said, "We are all on a pilgrimage to know God intimately. Our supreme lover desires intimacy with us. He desires for us to live in union and communion with him, to spend intimate time with you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has certain and specific things he says he wants to say to us, and he requires our undivided attention fostered through silence and stillness." Those two words, silence and stillness. And I know some of you might feel like, how in the world do I do that? How in the world do I get there? We're going to see how. Okay, so don't be discouraged if you are not experiencing that. Because through these classes and through your studies, the Holy Spirit is your teacher, and he will show you how you can incorporate that in your daily life. Andrew Murray said, "The more I think of and pray about the state of religion in this country and all over the world, the deeper my conviction becomes that the low state of the spiritual life of Christians is due to the fact that they do not realize the aim and object of conversion is to bring the soul, even here on earth, to a daily fellowship with the Father in heaven. When once this truth has been accepted, the believer will perceive how indispensable it is to the spiritual life of a Christian to take time each day with God's word and in prayer, to wait upon God for his presence and love to be revealed." That's a lot right there. That's a mouthful. Ladies, do you know that spending time with God is more necessary than anything else you and I can do on a daily basis, including eating, sleeping, getting dressed, going to work? Do you realize that? The saints of old realized this, as we see with Abraham. He rose early in the morning to seek God. So did Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Job, David. He kept his appointments morning by morning with God. And each example that I'm saying here, there are scripture verses on your handout that you could look up, just to see if these things are even so. But also Jesus. Jesus knew how important it was to spend time with the Father. It's amazing to me how in Psalm 27, verse 4, the psalmist said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Notice how it says, I will seek after. We have to go after God. To seek after is to desire, to seek for. It's being intentional. You know, we keep hearing about we need to be intentional. Well, this is one way we need to be intentional to pursue God more than anything else in life. Because when everything's said and done, that's all that matters, is what we have in God, what we have with the Lord. Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Is anyone here thirsty? Yeah. Don't you love that invitation from the Lord? He invites us to come. I love how he is always calling out to us to come and drink freely, without price, right? Isaiah 55, he desires intimacy with us. We see that. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3 and 6 and 7. This is one of my favorite scripture verses in the Bible. And again, it's the Father's heart. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. For why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Verse 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And you look at that invitation again, and you really see the Father's heart, that he wants us to delight, our soul to delight itself in abundance. But the problem is we keep drinking from other wells that don't satisfy us. And usually when we get to the end of that empty well, that empty cistern, we come crawling back to God. Because we realize, you're what I need. I need you more than anything else. You satisfy me. You satisfy the longing of my heart. You satisfy my soul. I love the Father that he would even want to be bothered with us in that way. You know, knowing that we did a podcast last week on the book of Hosea, knowing that we're harlots. We're prone to wander. All of us are prone to wander. All of us. All of us. You see that pattern throughout Scripture. God's people are prone to wander. But yet he cries out to us, turn, 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 repent, turn back to me. That's all repentance means, is to turn back to me. Come to your senses, realize, what in the world am I doing? What am I doing? C.S. Lewis stated, we are a people built and made for eternity. So we won't find any satisfaction in anything other than God. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is we were made for another world. Isn't that amazing? We were made for eternity. We were made for heaven. We were made for Jesus to be his bride. That's why nothing here satisfies us. Relationships, our job, even being a mom, maybe at times you feel like, why do I have all these kids? Nothing satisfies us but Jesus, the fountain of living water. And if Jesus modeled to us the importance of spending time with the Father, and he was the Son of God, What about us? Right? What about us? Mark 1, verse 35, we get a picture into Jesus's time with the Lord, with the God the Father. He says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Why do you think Jesus had to depart to a solitary place? Anyone?
People were vying for his attention all day, every day.
Anything else?
And he needed to be filled with the Spirit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what was sustaining him.
He knew.
You know, it's not our physical sustenance that's going to keep us going.
Right. He knew he had to abide in the Father's presence. And what we're going to see is he was intentional about it. Again, we're hearing that. Again, he was intentional about it. He didn't let anything get in the way of that. This was his practice to get up early before daybreak so that he might enjoy unhurried communication with his Father.
Yes.
You know, over the years, I've heard from many women, "I'm just too tired. I'm not a morning person. I want to sleep." I've heard so many reasons why women don't make the time to be with Jesus. And you know, I want to tell you something. I'm not a morning person by nature. But over the years, God has made me a morning person. He has made me into a morning person. So just because you are not by nature a certain way, God can change that in your heart. And you need to know that. You don't have to be a slave to your flesh. You don't. You really don't in this area of your life. Jesus got up long before daylight for a good reason. In Luke 5 verse 15, Luke tells us that when news spread about Jesus, that he was coming to town, crowds of people came near him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So just like Sarah said, people were wanting something from him. And he knew, I've got to connect with the Father, spend time with the Father, get instruction from the Father. Because what we see in Mark 1, 36 and 37, Simon and those who were with him were searching for Jesus while he was spending time with the Father. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And in verse 38, look at how Jesus responds to them. He says, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." So somehow when he was spending time with the Father, God was instructing him what his assignment was for that day. He was instructing him. He knew, "I have to go to this town. The Father has shown me that. Come, let us go. Let us go." So even though I know many times moms will say, "Well, my kids, they interrupt me," or, you know, what's amazing is even Jesus's disciples interrupted him while he was having his prayer time. So be encouraged in that way, knowing that Jesus sympathizes with you. He understands, he sees, you know, and you don't have to. I had a minister friend once had said that he spent his time with the Lord at 12 o'clock in the morning every night. And we were like, "Really? Why 12 o'clock in the morning?" He said, "That's the start of a new day. It's the morning." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty good. I never looked at it that way." Somehow we look at daybreak and we say, "Okay, this is morning." But he had a point there. And he said at that time, everyone was asleep. His wife, his kids, everyone was asleep. So that was his time with God. So even if you have sleepless nights where you're tossing and turning, instead of looking at the clock getting angry, that why can't I sleep? Look at the time. I gotta get up in 2 hours, 3 hours. You could be spending that time with the Lord on your bed, worshiping Him from the heart, singing praises to Him, listening to praise, listening to the Word of God on CD or YouTube. I mean, there's so many ways to listen to the Word of God now if we can't sleep. And let the Lord fill your spirit with Himself in that way. You'd be surprised how when morning comes, you won't feel like, I can't do this. Because He'll give you the grace during that time to be able to do what you think is impossible to do. Elizabeth Elliot said, married or single, mothers or not, we must arrange to be quiet, alone, consistently before God. We must arrange this. So you have a bunch of handouts that I gave you, and I don't have time to go through everything because we have to be done by 7:30 and back in the sanctuary, man. But I don't want this homework to overwhelm you, because really the homework is just to help you to know, okay, when I am spending time with the Lord, what am I going to do there? You know, what do I do? What do I do when I read the Word? I mean, so there are a bunch of different things you can look at and choose what works for you. While we're going through this study during this time, we're going to be going through Psalms of instruction, Psalms of expectation, Psalms of aspiration, Psalms of contrition, and Psalms of celebration. And you see that on your homework handout. You can study each psalm at your own pace. But for next week, we're just going through Psalm 1. We're only going to do that psalm. But if you want to go on to Psalm 19, 37, 73, 90, feel free to do so, because what you'll notice is the Bible study is 30 days in the Psalms. Okay? But that doesn't mean you have to do the Psalms in 30 days. You could drag it out as long as you want. Okay? So this is just to give you something to do. There's also a handout I gave you here, practical ways to develop a devotional life. And there's just 6 points there where it says, make your devotional life priority, number one, in your daily schedule. And then there's different points there that said, purpose your heart, attitude, and actions towards having quality time with God. Set aside a block of time, preferably in the morning, to pray and read the Bible. If you find this to be difficult, to write out a schedule of what you will do with your time throughout the day. You will find time even if you have to wake up earlier. Ian Bounds said, if God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, He will be last during the day. How many would say that is true? He'll be last in the day. Number two, establish a place. Find a place that is special and private where you could be alone with God. Even if it means you have to go for a walk to get out, away from everything, away from distractions. You have to find what works for you. What works for me may not work for you. Okay, so you have to find what works for you. Find a place that's free from distractions. And it's amazing, because once you determine to do this, you'll find like your brain is all over the place with the to-do list. Did I turn off the stove? So-and-so's coming. I got to be back there to get ready. I mean, but fight through it. Fight through it. Because it's a fight. But spending time with the Lord is worth the fight. It's worth the fight. Three, decide what you'll do with your time there. And this is why I gave you this homework, so you have help there.
But spend some time just worshiping with or without music. Worship should always be on the tip of our tongue as we consider who God is and the love he's shown us. It just should flow out of us naturally. You can meditate on a psalm, like this is suggesting Psalm 103 or 119. You can even pray through Psalm 119. It's a wonderful psalm to pray through. Spend time repenting of where you've fallen short. Pray for the needs of others. And you could read and pray over the Word of God. And we'll get into that more as the weeks progress, just how you do that, how you pray over Scripture, pray, read over the Scripture. Number four, devote time to God every day. If you will be consistent, you will begin to develop a habit and will begin to look forward to your times alone with God. And I want to say that's true because just like I said, by nature, I was not a morning person. Because I have been doing this for so many years, I just wake up and I get my coffee and I just head to my prayer space. It's just natural for me. It doesn't matter where I am. If I'm in a hotel or in my mother's house visiting, I just get up. And my mother knows. If I visit her, she knows I'm going to come down for the coffee. I'm going back upstairs. That's not the time to be pulling me here and there. She knows. But it's been an example to her. Because when she came to the Lord, my dad has slight dementia and she really has to take care of him. But she shares with me, she says sometimes she'll get upset because she wants to spend time with the Lord. And if my dad, you know, gets up before her, it takes away from that. So somehow that example that was set before her has been able to show her her need and why it's so important, especially with what she's dealing with, to be spending time with God. So devote time to God every day. Consider the following quote, and this is from Steve Gallagher. He says, the habit of prayer is never established in a person's life who's inconsistent. Okay? Until prayer is a regular part of one's daily routine, it will always be a drudgery. Always be a drudgery. Number five, as you grow, you'll want to increase the length of time. That's just automatic. I mean, it is. It's just automatic. And I say that because think about a relationship. When you love someone, you want to spend time with that person, right? Mm-hmm. And the more time you spend with them, the more your love grows for them, right? And as your love grows for them, the time you spend with them is just never enough. It's not enough time. You want more, right? You want to be in their presence more and more and more. You don't want them to leave. How true is that of the Lord? Being in his presence. So it may start off like a drudgery, but if you're consistent in it and ask the Lord, Lord, change this drudgery I'm feeling right now, like I have to do this, into desire. I want to do this because I love you. I love being with you. I love your word. I love to see what you have to say to me. Speak to me for the day. Being sensitive to your Holy Spirit so you can lead and guide and give me a word in season to that person that needs a word in season, needs to be refreshed. So number five, as you grow, it says you will want to increase the time. Start with at least 15 minutes of Bible reading and 15 minutes of prayer. And each week you can extend the time a little further. If you want to benefit from your time with God, it has to be quality time that isn't rushed. Okay? So that, again, it's just practice. Do it over and over and over and over and over and over until it's just a part of your DNA and you don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to think about it. It's part of your life because he's a part of your life. And number six, it says incorporate fasting to empower your prayer times for special needs. So there's an evangelist named Gypsy Smith, and I love what he says here. He said, what makes the difference is not how many times you've been through the Bible, But how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been for you? When I read that, I was like, that's good. Because we could boast in how many times we have read through the Bible, right? Well, I read through my Bible every year, all the time, every year, every year, every year, for years, right? We could boast in that. But how many times and how thoroughly has the Bible been through us? That's different. That's different, letting the Word of God pierce you and cut you to the heart, to remove all the impurities that are in there, to convict us of sin, so that we would be full of His Holy Spirit. God told Ezekiel that the problem with His people was that they sit before you to listen to your words, but they don't put them into practice. In Ezekiel 33, verse 31. Hebrews 4, verse 2 tells us that the message the children of Israel heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. That is, they didn't act on what they heard. So again, they were hearing, 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 always learning, but nothing was profiting them because they weren't doing anything with what they were hearing. James makes the same point. He said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James 1:22. Past how many years, 27 years of just being in ministry, this, Jeff and I have both seen this is a major problem amongst God's people. We hear. But we don't do. And that's why we're stuck. That's why there's no fruit coming forth in our lives in the areas that we plead with God for. We want someone to pray over us and just let it appear by osmosis. You know what I mean? But it's hard work. You think about a tree that's being pruned. It gets cut way back, right? So that it could bear more fruit. But you gotta make sure the soil's right, the watering is right. You gotta make sure all the elements are just right for that tree to produce fruit. The same is true in our own life, in the spiritual fruit, to bear spiritual fruit in our life. So again, the purpose of the homework that you receive for the beginning of this Bible study will help you to move past the hearing of the word to the doing of the word, doing it. It's the same is true as in biblical counseling. You know, you just don't come to biblical counseling to sit there and talk about your problem, right? People here in this room that have been biblical counseling know that. You have to do God's word, right? You just don't talk, you do. And you find when you do, God's changing you, right? It's amazing. We always know who's doing the word by the change that comes. If there's no change, we know, okay, they're not doing anything with what they're hearing. They're not doing anything. So the purpose of the homework is to get you past the hearing, like God told His prophets of old. They just hear, but they don't do. And get you into the habit of, how do I put this into practice in my daily life? How do I practice God's word? The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we really believe that meeting with God in this way, really, is as important and necessary as our physical food? To have an appetite for God's word is the mark of a healthy Christian whose priorities are straight. I read that today and I was like, boy, that's good too. To have an appetite for God's word and to be in His presence, to spend time with Jesus, I'm gonna add that to it, is a mark of a healthy Christian whose priorities are straight. They know you are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Jesus in John 4, verse 34 said, again, and he's our example, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And Job 23, verse 12 says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The children of Israel, did you ever notice that they had to gather the manna early in the morning every single day? Every day. So I know this can be a challenge, but I don't want you to feel intimidated by the study or what we're talking about today, because God will help you. He will help you. I've seen it over and over in men and women's lives where maybe they weren't consistent or they didn't have desire, where God changed their hearts and changed their person, who they are, where maybe by nature they're lazy, but they've learned how to be diligent. Maybe in the past they've just left things off, but they're learning how to be intentional. You know, to let their yes be yes and their no be no, to set goals and to keep them. You know, God can change us. I mean, if he created us to have fellowship with him, right? We were made for him. Don't you think he's going to help us? He will. He will help us. So there is something here on the handout that I want to say, especially for the moms. You're going to notice on the homework on page 1 of 2, there's a reading assignment in the book, A Place of Quiet Rest, that I put down for you for this week, just to help you all, to encourage you in what I'm sharing with you tonight. And it's written by mothers who have had the challenge of seeking the Lord while their children were small and maybe disrupting their time. So I want you to read that chapter, those pages early on, what I put there on the handout, to encourage your heart and to look at the different examples they give and see, well, maybe I could try that and see if that works for me. You know, if what you find is not working for you, glean from what these women have wrote that is from their testimony on how they were able to really find time to be with the Lord and to be in his word, even though they had small children. Some of the testimonies are really amazing. So it's towards the end of the book. And even though we're only reading a chapter a week, I felt like to encourage the moms in this group, it would be good to do that as a homework assignment the first week early on, because next week we'll look at Psalm 1, but we'll also talk about what are some of the things that the Lord showed you that needs to change in your life. And the reason why we're going to have a discussion on that is so that we can be accountable to one another and help one another. Because really, we should help one another. You know, if one is struggling, we should try to reach out and encourage them, especially as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. We want to be ready. We want to be ready. But how are we going to be ready if we're not spending time with him, or we don't even know what his word says about what's coming? And you know we're big on that here, sharing about what is coming, because we need to be prepared. But again, if we're not taking the time to be prepared, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss what he's about to do or how he wants to use your life, like we saw in the book of Esther, right? For such a time as this, God has a plan and he wants to use every single one of you. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how mature you are, right? God has a plan for every single one of us. So I just want to share a testimony with you, because the Lord brought back to my memory a song that 30 years ago at Teen Challenge, we used to sing all the time there. And I remember when we were back at Teen Challenge, I worked a full-time job in the hospital. I was teaching in the hospital and doing community events for the community. And at the same time, I was going to school at night to get my bachelor's in community health education, because I just love reaching out to the community. I just wanted to help people. I mean, that was just in my heart. But I was so busy. Busy, you can imagine. I mean, working full time, going to school at night, getting home like 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, only to get up at 5 o'clock to do it all over again. I was busy. And then I find out my husband's doing crack cocaine on the side, not showing up, coming home at night. So I had that going on top of it. And here I am in Teen Challenge, and I kept hearing the Lord drawing me through it all. He was just drawing me. And I remember there used to be this guy that used to come, and he always sang. They always had special songs that they would do at the church. And every time he sang this one particular song, it was like Jesus singing to me. And I didn't realize that how important back then was going to be a bedrock for today. I just want to play the words to it. It's called I Miss My Time With You. And it's written by Larnell Harris. It's sung by Larnell Harris, but I couldn't find his. But I'm going to play it by Helen Bela. But I'm going to read the words and then I'll play it. It says, there he was, just waiting in our old familiar place. An empty spot besides him where once I used to wait. To be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day. I would have passed him by again if I didn't hear him say, I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. What will I have to offer? How can I truly care? My efforts have no meaning when your presence isn't there. But you'll provide the power if I take time to pray. I'll stay right here beside you, and you'll never have to say, I miss my time with you. Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. Every time I heard